Truth and Freedom with Marianne and Bruce Curtis, Fridays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello and welcome. You're on Truth and Freedom, and we're your hosts, Bruce and Marianne Curtis. In our show, our prayer for you is always that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And as we gather with you today on the eve of the ninth anniversary of 9/11, we're facing a lot of very imposing events, and in fact, we ourselves have become privy to yet another interesting event today we're going to share with you. But we have a terrific guest, and we're going to tell you more about her in a few moments. But first, tomorrow we're looking at an interesting situation in Florida with Pastor Terry Jones, pastor of a very small congregation who is interested in demonstrating his belief system by burning a Koran. Now, there seems to be a lot behind this. There's a lot of news behind this. A lot of the Rupert Murdoch Fox News Corporation efforts to make this a big to-do. We know what's behind that, and we're going to probably talk about that today. On top of that, we have news, breaking news from this morning, that the last constitutional court we have, the last Article III court, which is right in Manhattan, the Court of International Trade, has refused to take on its constitutional duty. It has abrogated its constitutional duty to file in the case of true constitutional equity rights. It has failed the people. And one of the people who can tell you more about that is our guest today. But we are at the heart of a constitutional crisis in this country. We're in the midst of daily financial terrorism that has led to a global financial meltdown. Stories breaking this week tell us that if this is not remedied by September 30th, the value of U.S. bonds globally will be nil, and the U.S. could face the bursting of the bond bubble. And so today we're going to look at who's at the root of the global banking crisis. Who's at the root of the daily financial terrorism we face? And our marvelous guest, Marianne's going to tell you a little bit more about her. Her name is V.K. Durham.
What an honor to have V.K. with us today. And she is a phenomenal historian, among many other things. And if our history books were written with the education that VK could give all of us, we would all have a whole other level of understanding of this country, of the world we live in, and we might actually have a chance for peace. Because only if you're thoroughly educated and can truly see all facets of life, all good and evil as it exists, and all the fallacies of men and women and our limitations as they exist, and truly come into who we are, can we actually have that level of forgiveness to be able to see the truth? And there's that old line by, his actor name just ran out of my head. He's in a movie and he says, "You can't handle the truth."
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. You know, that's it for most folks. But V.K. Durham is here with us today, and I don't think any, there's any way I can do her justice in terms of who she is and what she has done to protect this country, this Constitution, the republic nature of the country as it was set up with our forefathers. And she is protecting that every day and preparing education for everyone to understand exactly what has happened to this country so that we can pick up where our forefathers left off and under God's grace restore this nation to a republic for which it stands.
And since she's worked so hard to educate you folks, please, and we're going to announce this several times so you can get your education, many of her works are on the web on theantechamber.net. That's theantechamber.net. So without further ado, we want to introduce this great patriot and researcher, and really the prime creditor and lien holder against the defunct United States Federal Corporation, and that's our friend V.K. Durham. V.K., welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Well, hello, Barry. Thank you for inviting me.
I was noticing at the inception of the program that you were making note of an equity situation being denied by an Article III court. And
yes.
I think the folks should be aware, I think all Americans should be aware that the equity court in this particular instance was bound by the equity rights of the plaintiff, and I will read where they were noticed of a note by the Department of State pursuant to Public Law 89-497, approved July 8, 1996, 80 Stat 271, 1 U.S.C., Section 113, which states, quote, the treaties and other international acts series issued under the authority of the Secretary of State shall be competent evidence of treaties, international agreements other than treaties, and proclamations by the President of such treaties and international agreements other than treaties, as the case may be, therein contained in all courts of law and equity and maritime jurisdiction, and all the tribunals and public offices of the United States and of the several states, without any further proof or authentication thereof. Now, this is a long-standing treaty and international agreement section that has been recognized internationally, globally, to be exact, by all the nations' banking systems throughout the world.
So the failure of this court, of the Court of International Trade, our last Article III court, is really, let's just boil it down, it's a treasonous act against the people to refuse to see.
Well, I don't know so much if it's treason or not, if. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying. Or if they knew that the pleadings that went in under the equity doctrine. Now, I want all of you to listen very carefully what the equity doctrine is. That means all parties, the party who makes the plaintiff, who makes the complaint and pleads equity, must plead equity with clean hands. In other words, you cannot have a soiled act against you. You have to be above any criminal activity at all yourself. And what I really believe happened, and I think you'll believe it after I explain it to you. You see, Mr. Herman was murdered, and then all of those forged signatures and false notaries 4 years after his death surfaced, which that was filed on August the 10th, 1998, in Las Vegas. And then they proceeded to go around the world issuing counterfeit instruments on counterfeit U.S. debt. Well, the White House was actively engaged in this. There's no doubt about it. The proof is there. Orders have persistently come down from the top when we've asked for a full formal federal investigation. Orders have come down from the top, quote, do not investigate. Now, keep this in mind, with all of this criminal activity going on, and those who murdered Mr. Herman, what about the fact that in this court of equity, that they might just show up with some forged documents as the defendants? And what if by chance, at that point, the murder charge could be proven in a court of law? Now, this is why then I strongly believe that justice was denied It was delayed and therefore denied, which is an old maxim of law. I believe very strongly that it was the parties who were participants in the creation of all of this global banking, financial, and economic crisis, which intended to take the entire global banking, financial, and economics hostage. I believe it's the parties who were associated with that particular group, the 1998 group, including the group of 1991, to which the 1998 White House was just as guilty as the 1991 White House. And the forgery and securitization of property that they did not own, which was two $120 billion gold instruments, which one was used by the Clinton group and one was used by the Bush group. One was for Deutsche Marks, the other one was for Japanese Yen. Now, both of these groups got entangled into an agreement. There were two agreements there. There was each were for a 10-year term and or until the U.S. dollar provider is exhausted. Now, that's a direct quote. We have that posted on my website, which is the Antechamber, which would be http://theantechamber.net. And I think you'll find that a very interesting website because you can go into there. We have a Google search engine in there that you can go into the blank space and you can Google in more financial terrorism. And you'll come up with the actual documents themselves. You will also come up with where, like Senator Grassley, Congressman King, Congressman Ron Paul, Chief of Interpol Bank Fraud Division, were all, and SEC regulators, SEC legal. Everyone was noticed, but no one did anything. Everyone sat on this and allowed that 10-year term that was began on September the 12th, and his 10-year term ended on or about September the 11th, 2001. They allowed the World Trade Towers to be hit and destroyed, which would also destroy the offices of Cantor Fitzgerald, who was directly involved with Goldman Sachs. And Cantor Fitzgerald was the LLC, as was Goldman Sachs. Each of these went out through Nicholas Brady and Alan Greenspan. And I think that we've got a tremendous problem here because Alan Greenspan took it upon himself to underwrite, using my unauthorized collateral, to underwrite the European euro. Now, this creates a global problem because it involves all the people around the world. It doesn't just affect Americans. It doesn't just affect the Islamics, the black people, the Cherokee, the Moorish, the Irish, the English, the French, whatever. It affects everyone, every race, every color, and every creed. And that's what's happened. That's what's happened to put this country in a state of an unconstitutional act called the Patriot Act. Now, when did this start? First, it started off in the 1860s, and it started off with W.R. Grace and J.P. Morgan and the Rothschilds when they decided they were going to create the tripod and come over here as the Crown of England's agents and take over the United States and the American continent. Well, they couldn't do that. very easily. They started war down in Latin America, down in Peru and Chile and all of that. Well, that was called the First War of the Pacific. Well, what happened there? That war still hasn't had a treaty signed on it because Peru won't sign that agreement on Tacarica. She tells them all she's not going to do it, and that's rightly so. But you see, here we have a problem. We as the American people have a problem. We have a problem that we're being denied jobs. We're being denied industry. We're being denied our health care. We're being threatened over health care. If you don't have health care, they're going to be able to arrest you, throw it in jail, and then probably use you for experimental purposes. Mm-hmm. This thing has become so corrupt that no American is safe. Now, I saw this happening many, many years ago. I watched it just fall down the line. I watched it start happening when no one had any rights under the S&L crisis. They didn't have any rights because the notes were sold off to foreign countries, and that was all under treaty. And the courts couldn't adjudicate when the poor people of America, there was 97 million Americans who lost their homes in that period of time. There were 2.5 million Americans that lost their farms during that time. You figure that times 2.5 per each, and you see how many Americans and homeowners and farmers were dispossessed of their businesses. All because they had no rights, because Neil Bush, Charlie Keating, John McCain, and the rest of those had entered into international treaties and agreements other than treaties, and the court would not protect the people. It never protected one people. Now, we've watched that happen today when we went to equity court. That happened again today. Now, I want all of you to be aware of something. May 21st, 2003, I paid the U.S. and American continental debt, $6.5 trillion. I put up another $6.5 trillion for global humanitarian. Suddenly, there's a $13 trillion increment that's coming up missing.
Isn't that interesting? 6.5.
I think it's very interesting. I think it's very
13. It seems like the books match.
Well, you know, you just never know what's going to happen on those third ledgers. You never know. But anyway, I saw this coming many years ago. When I watched the farmers, I watched people commit suicide because they thought their insurances would protect their families. Well, not a single insurance policy protected the family. Those families wound up living under bridges out in California, around the world, around the country. This did happen. I lived through it. I lost my own home. I lost my water rights. My water rights went from San Jacinto, California, all the way down, took in March Air Force Base, went all the way down to La Jolla down there. That's a hell of a track of water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was taken. My property was foreclosed on by forged documents, and the water rights taken over by the Queens Water Company. Well, I watched this thing happen, and many of you are too young to know about it, but all of us older ones know it. And the reason why I paid that debt, which was on the American continent and the U.S., which they kept telling us that the U.S. owed $6.5 trillion to the Federal Reserve, and there was going to be a foreclosure. Well, I made a demand of payment. And soon those documents will come and be made public.
VK, we got to help our audience understand, because not too many of our listeners have probably studied your website.
Let me finish what I'm saying.
I want to help them understand the collateral that how you did this to fill in, so they can really get it.
Let me finish what I'm saying. I paid the debt so that no American on this continent would go through what Americans went through in 1933.
Yeah.
When I paid the U.S. debt, that kept the republics free. And that payment of debt, it demanded that all the mortgages, all the deeds, everything be returned. And that's why the debt was paid. All the water rights, all the titles to the highways, the bridges, et cetera, that George Bush sold out under Executive Order 12803.
But
now, the people are free of debt, as far as I'm concerned.
But they didn't actually do it, did they?
No, they didn't. They took the money and played the stock market with it in Europe.
And then what happened to the money?
Who knows, girl?
So let's help the audience understand, because, like I said, they haven't had a chance to study antichamber.net yet. But the thing is that you have this collateral, and a lot of the American public is ignorant as to the real collateral that could redeem the indebtedness created by the Federal Reserve, the U.S. UK Federal Reserve banking system,
and that was the equity court this morning. That was the equity court. That is the debt that is owed to this trust. This trust is the duly constituted, outstanding primary creditor of the United States and all debtor nations. And when I say duly constituted, that's exactly what I mean. It was authorized by the Constitution of Peru and authorized again by the United States, by the U.S. House and Senate. So now when we were denied our equity today, we were denied the right of the collection of the debt so we could protect the people again. But the thing of it is, the people have the right of their own self-defense. I think the people should be the self-determining factor as to who is going to do what. Because we don't have any courts of law. Not in this country anymore.
Yeah. And the one court that had the jurisdiction to hear it refused to receive the filing of the case.
That's right. Now then, does anyone remember the Third Reich?
I'm glad you're moving there, because I did want to get into the topic of the Fourth Reich. So
well, I think we need to move there, because we've been watching a lot of situations going down which are very, very similar to the movements, if not a direct parallel of the movements of the Nazi parties, always out there doing something and blaming someone else, which is exactly what happened on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're looking at, here's what we're looking at. In the 1950s and 60s, there were those who called themselves Jews, but they weren't Jews. They were the Ashkenaz, who used the black people, the American blacks, African Americans, to incite civil unrest. Well, I happen to be a part of that, because I believed at that time that they should have equal rights, that they should get equal work. If they did equal work, do equal pay, get equal pay. And I'll tell you who I worked on in that civil rights movement with was Thurgood Marshall, Supreme Court Justice of the United States. But the thing of it is, they found a way to use the civil rights. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying here. To use, allegedly, civil rights to break the backbone of the structure of this country. Right now, we're watching the illegal immigrants. Again, they're screaming civil rights, civil rights, civil rights. those people have the same rights we have if they become citizens. First they have to take an oath and then become a citizen. Until that time, they will never have the rights that we enjoy. It'll never happen. But still, they want to come into this country and just take over the government. Destroy the government. This is their exact words, it's not mine. But when they start destroying the government is we the people. The government of this country, of this union, of the republics is we the people.
That's right. Mm-hmm. People don't understand what that means. They don't understand the power and the dominion that God has given them. And that if they don't claim that dominion over the earth, that it will be claimed by other parties and they will be enslaved by those parties.
Well, this is what's going on. We have a federal government that has gone and run amok. They did what we know as today is a hostile corporate takeover.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they incorporated. Well, in 1825, that particular Congress made the Corporation of Washington, D.C. dissolve. They repealed that act of the Corporation of Washington, D.C. because the federal government was operating under it. And why did they repeal it? Because it, and this is a direct quote, you can go back and check the records, I've got the original book. Because it was in conflict with the sovereign civil governments of the state. And that's why they repealed it. In 1871, they revved it up again, saying, the hell we, you don't mean anything. Well, yes, we do mean something. We do mean something. But anyway, be that as it may, I think the people need to take serious look at their Constitution. They need to seriously take a look at what this country was intended to be. And to do that, and Lord, I don't know where you're going to get it unless you go on my website and go in the historical documents sections.
And I have to say for everyone who's listening, if you want good education where you're not going to have any crap, which you can have to dig through on the web lots of time, a lot of crap to get some good information. The documents that VK has put together have excellent information, and then they usually have about 10 links that will take you to more excellent information filled with 10 more links. And that's why she has a search engine just for her site, because the education is in depth as you want to go. And very good and true to history.
And go to that constitutional convention or constitutional section up in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage, and you've got the Annapolis Convention, you've got the Articles, you've got the Constitution, Northwest Ordinance, all of the documents you need to understand what this country was intended to be.
Even the Declaration of Independence.
Amen. But now we have the Fourth Reich still coming back to subvert.
Oh, my. This thing is frightening.
Yeah.
I was asked by Senator Morton of the Department of Energy back in 1974 to go out and investigate a situation that happened that we found out about. And it was called Operation Codename Trojan. And this was involved all the oil companies. It involved Mr. Bush, Mr. Reagan, all of them. And when Mr. Reagan got into politics, got in as president back then, the first thing he was going to do was start a war with Gaddafi and get Gaddafi kicked out of the UN. Well, fortunately, he didn't make that first round, but in the second round, he did, and he did exactly what he planned back in the 70s. He planned to start a war. Their plan, and it's all on the website,
mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is, we're now looking at that. We're looking at that. That's your Contras. Those Contras, and if you don't know what the word Contra means, pull out your Black's Law Dictionary, go get your Webster's, whatever. Look it up. Look up the word Contra.
Now, while you're thinking of that, folks, you may be able to look it up during the break. We've come up to the half hour. Our guest is V.K. Durham, holder of the Durham International Trust Limited, and I'll tell you, the first lien holder against the Federal Reserve System and the corporate U.S. Remember, folks, we've been teaching you for months about the two governments. There's the Republic, and there is the corporation, which is holding the country hostage. And here we have a real patriot, dear friend, who is trying to get the hostage bill paid.
Well, the hostage bill has been paid.
It's been paid three times, trying to get it paid again, trying to get somebody to exercise some justice in this country. But you folks are going to need to stand up, too, because Restore the Republic and Restore the Republics, the 50 republics, that should really be our task. That is our task. We're going nowhere under hostage to the Fourth Reich unless you people want to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to help restore the republics. So we're going to take about a 2 to 3 minute break and listen to some other good shows on the Progressive Radio Network, a little blurb here and there, and we'll be back with V.K. Durham.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello. Check out my show, The Animal Magnet Pet Radio, live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern on Progressive Radio Network. Or catch it anytime you like by scrolling through the archives. You'll hear me, Deborah Wolf, best-selling author and award-winning radio host, chatting with the best pet experts and animal A-listers in the world about controversial topics like breed bans, the indoor versus outdoor cat debate, and whatever else is hot in the news and on their minds that matters to animals and the people who love them. Plus, we tell pet jokes, we'll give you trivia and smart, quirky facts, recipes, and take-home tricks and tests, homework your pets will love. Email your pet problems to me and we'll solve them on air. So listen to The Animal Magnet on Progressive Radio Network and get your animal fix.
This is Glenn Ford. Join me and co-host Nellie Bailey every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Black Agenda Radio, an hour of news, analysis, and commentary from a black left perspective. That's Black Agenda Radio on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mike Fader. I'm doing a new show here on PRN every Thursday following Gary Null from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called The Turning Point. What will we talk about? Well, everything from birth to death and most things in between. I'll be using stories in the news and personal observations from my own life. And from time to time, I'll be taking your calls. So please join me, Mike Fader, every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time for The Turning Point on PRN.
Everybody, this is Richard Martin of Richard Martin's Wake Up Call. I'm on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com twice a week on Mondays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to guide you and hold your hand through the worst economic catastrophe of all time. I predicted this right here on PRN back in 2005 along with the housing meltdown. Listen in and hear how this calamity is about to get much worse and hear me suggest ways in which you can sidestep a large part of the horror. Call in and have your questions answered in real time. Let's see this thing through together. ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com hosts my show Mondays and Fridays at 10 a.m. EST right here.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are back, and we've got to see this thing through together, but to see this thing through together, we have to know what is going on under the surface of events, underneath the bubbles. What are causing them? What is really happening in our republic? And so to that end, we have one of the most exciting patriots and a person who has really tried to steer this country through the rocky waters and has seen and really stood by the people And we are facing very much what the people of Germany faced in the 1930s. And the question is, are you going to stand up and speak the truth? Because truth is our weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Truth is our weapon. And today, to speak the truth and things that you people have probably not known, but someone to help you in your education is V.K. Durham. Welcome back, V.K.
Oh, glad to be here. Glad to be here. You know, I started to tell you about that investigation that I was put out on, and it was on Operation Codename Trojan. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how many of you are aware of the fact that this all started back in 1944. And I discovered this, I'd say about 5 years ago. And if you want to really get into and find out what has really gone on and why all those crates of money that everybody's been offering up to the Patriot movement, what they're really about, then I think you need to go and read Major Jordan's diaries or pull up Major Jordan's diaries and study chapter 12 in there. What you're going to find in there is the fact that some very un-American people were involved at that time, and they allowed and deliberately sent out the U.S. Treasury printing plates, complete with ink, paper, everything. The presses, you name it, it went out. And two plane loads went out. First plane allegedly crashed. They sent out a second plane. Well, this nonsense kept up, and lo and behold, what happened next? Well, it turned around that all of a sudden they're out there printing what's called Nation Busters. And those were all printed on U.S. dollar gold and silver certificate plates, which are the same thing as your little fiat number or your fiat bills, those are printed out by the Federal Reserve. But these were U.S. dollars. Well, we kept hearing, and they were called the Morgenthaus. And come to find out, one of the parties involved in releasing those plates out without any control whatsoever belonged to the Communist Party in one of the government.
And this was Harry Dexter White?
Harry Dexter White, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we find that there is a group that's trying to bring those back in and bring them into and move them into the country through the Patriot Movement.
I think people should read your recent articles of this week, folks. Look at rumormillnews.com and theantichamber.net, and you'll get plenty of good articles that VK has written this week. Tracing.
Well, not on the antichamber. I'm not doing that. We haven't reopened that one. I've left that one strictly.
But the Rumor Mill News articles that you wrote, people should study those, and they'll see the trace of evidence connecting the Fourth Reich with these silver certificates and the Patriot Movement, which is basically a victim of a spin.
Oh, it scares me to death when I see how the good, solid American citizens had been victimized, all because they were concerned about their country and how far it had gone off track and what they were planning. And I honestly believe this because I've been investigating this stuff since 1974. And my thoughts are that this is, they have the Patriot Movement. Now, you know what that is. You know that that is, has the power to incarcerate people and to throw them into prison camps. They don't get any legal counsel. Nothing. Boom, you're gone.
In fact, you're listed as a terrorist if you claim to be part
of
the Patriot Movement.
Well, now, something else that bothers me is this FEMA mess back in 1972, my husband was asked to get Richard Nixon the invitation from Chu Enlai to visit China by the White House. Well, when Nixon went to the over there, now I want you kids listen carefully what I'm telling you. When Nixon went over there, I believe that he came back a Manchurian candidate. And there's every indication that leads to verify that. Now, what are we looking at here? What are we looking at? You're looking at a situation where during the Nixon administration, all of a sudden, all the congressmen and everybody's raising hell all over the place. What are they doing? What are they raising hell about? Richard Nixon. Why? Well, they weren't getting a big enough cut of what Richard Nixon had agreed to.
How am I?
It's always the way.
With China. Okay, so wasn't much longer that Richard went on television with David Frost. And you can pull this out of the archives. It's there. He went on the national television with David Frost. And they were, David was asking Richard about the impeachment. And Richard says, well, I can save the American taxpayer an awful lot of money from impeaching me. They said, well, how can you do that? And he said, just like this. He says, I, Richard Milhouse Nixon, do herein and hereby and herein after impeach myself. He said, now, Congress, what do you think about that?
And what does that do, VK?
Well, it's just like if anything, if you impeach a judge over some criminal actions, and you find out that there's been some improprieties with a judge, et cetera, then that and impeachment charges are brought, then that judge is impeached, then lo and behold, they have to let all of those prisoners out of prison, and all of the nonsense that went on is no longer exists. They can't be retried. The reason they can't be retried is it's your Fifth Amendment.
Double jeopardy.
Double jeopardy. That's absolutely correct. So
Richard Nixon repealed all of his own acts from his administration.
Yes, he did. But Congress and the Senate, they just like with Bill Clinton, they impeached that turkey too. But what did they do? Oh, well, that doesn't apply to us. We'll just let him keep on. He can just keep on keeping on. And he sure did.
Yeah.
And now you see what the situation this government is in right now, all because of the keeping on, keeping on. It's been an exercise in criminal activity, and that's all I can. I don't know how else to explain it.
And VK, you know, as I've studied this with you the last couple of months, I cannot see a solution that helps the American people apart from refunding the republics via your lawful, duly constituted instruments.
That's the only way we're going to do it. I don't think that they will ever allow this nation to be free until the people free themselves of this debt that has been brought upon them unconstitutionally without their authorization. And they've even done the people down so far that the people don't realize that in order for something to become law, the people have to vote on it. The people have to vote on these laws. The people must, by Constitution, vote on the laws which they want to live in their towns, their counties, their states. And those are your civil laws.
And, of course, we've given up that power to our elected
officials.
No, we didn't
give it up. We never gave it up. That power has never been given up.
Not given up, but people acquiesce daily.
Right.
And that 10th Amendment, you know, I don't know how many times we've emphasized to our listeners, but we can always say it again. These 10th Amendment republics are not to be preyed upon by a municipal corporation masking as a federal government.
That's right. I just watched this situation out in Arizona where Mr. Holder and Mr. Obama have filed suit against the state of Arizona because Arizona is following their constitution. And their constitution mandates that they follow the Constitution for the United States. But yet, and they are demanding, these Arizonians are demanding that people show their identification, that they prove that they are, they have a local residence. If there's any doubt in the mind of any law enforcement officer, and suddenly we have an objection from the federals. Why do we have an objection? Was that objection brought about because George Bush sold off the infrastructure in Executive Order 12803? Did he sell off something that he did not have the duly constituted authority to sell?
Exactly.
Just as they illegally securitized my instruments, or what everyone thought were the instruments, and they weren't. I was recently, I think it was somewhere around April, I was offered $40 billion if I would legitimatize or underwrite the instruments that were used for the Brady Bonds and for Bush and Clinton. Those two, 120. And I said, oh, sure I will. Sure I will. But it's got to be paid in gold bullion per the contract. And I'll take it in gold bullion. The gold bullion has to be core drilled and assayed, and it has to be delivered to my bank of choice. Well, where are you going to get a bank to hold all that gold? I said, hell, I don't know. I'll dig a hole up here in the hill and bury it.
But, of course, they didn't want to monetize it in that kind of way.
No. But what is so funny about all of this? All of a sudden, here they run. They run back to Gaitner, to Volcker, and President Obama. And they get their hustle their butts over to China, to the Citigroup. And they start core drilling and assaying, and everybody, guess what? Everybody found out they didn't have any gold. They had gold-plated tungsten.
Yeah, there's no gold to give you.
Uh-uh.
But, BK, you know, just to pick up one more thread on the Arizona situation,
mm-hmm.
given Article 4, Section 4, where the federal government's supposed to, you know, but constitutionally, to guarantee a Republican form of government to the states, how can they sit back and not allow Arizona to make their decisions with respect to their own protection? Plus, they're not even reaching out to protect one of the republics.
Well, the Constitution has what's called General Welfare Clause that the federal government is bound by, and that means that they can collect the taxes to pay the war debts, and they provide for a common defense.
Common defense.
Okay. But the thing of it here, now that's where the rub is. Under the Article 4, Section 4, there's a provision in there that if any state is invaded or by anyone or anything at any time, then the Federal Reserve, not the Federal Reserve, the federal government is bound by law to move their troops out there and to protect the citizens of that state or of all states if necessary. Where are our troops? They're in 120 different nations. Those are our National Guardsmen. Our National Guardsmen, by law, by the original act, are not supposed to go outside the continental limits of the United States. Well, they broke that one, too. They sent our men and women off to wars in 120 nations where there is no war. They've made the same mistake that England made at one time. England was so large, her possessions were so large that it was a common saying that the sun could never set on the English Empire. Once the sun would go around and traverse around the world, lo and behold, it's always fall on an English possession. Right now, England lost everything. Why did she lose it? Because she spread herself too thin, having wars. The same thing is happening to the United States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it happened to Rome. And now we are sitting like Rome with all of the troops spread around the world and like the belly of an unprotected pig just ready to be gutted.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Because you know and I know. All they have to do is show the whites of their eyes.
Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of it, too, is that people don't understand what's really happening in Arizona. And a lot of people are protected from the truth, quote-unquote protected, because our media doesn't really tell the truth unless you're on a radio show like this. And they're not needy families that are coming over trying to find some kind of food for their family.
No, these are people coming over to overthrow
the government. These are people who are killers. These are drug runners. These are people that are creating murders. These are leaving, you know, bodies strewn in dry creek beds.
But also terrorists. People are coming over strictly for terrorism.
Okay, I'm going to read you an article that I just posted just not too long ago. It's the last article posted. And it was on Reuters. Hitmen killed 25 in the bloodiest day on Mexico-U.S. border.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour and 10 minutes ago, Kid Juarez, Mexico, the murders of 25 people by suspected drug hitmen on the U.S.-Mexico border on Thursday was the bloodiest day in almost 3 years in an area gripped by an escalating drug war, officials said on Friday. Gunmen burst into several houses in Ciudad Juarez across the border from El Paso, Texas, and shot people accused of working with a rival drug gang. And spokesman for the Chihuahua State's Attorney General's Office said on Friday morning, the four bystanders were also killed. Now, this thing is going on. People are being killed.
Yes.
These people are coming up here into our country just this last week, and I think I told you about this, Bruce. I was at the grocery store. And what did I see? Four Mexicans. Well, four Mexicans in our community is about like a pepper in a salt box.
I've got to say that's true about Iowa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's in our community.
Yes.
But anyway, here they were. They had sergeants, chevrons on their sleeve.
So the Mexican troops that we've been reading and seeing.
And yet, they're in here.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, VK, before you go, I would like to read to the listeners just a little bit because of today and because tomorrow's 9/11. But this was filed, folks, and it was stamped as incoming by the Court of International Trade, but it was not received without federal review, without judicial review. It was summarily dismissed in an unlawful way, in violation of Public Law 89-497, 1 U.S. Code 113. So listen to the basics of it. It is a United States of America Republic's ex rel beneficiary with approval on behalf of the real party in interest, V.K. Durham. The real party in interest, our beloved guest. Durham International Limited Holding Trust is the superior, duly constituted, outstanding sovereign creditor with a vested interest as beneficiary since May 1, 1875 of the United States of America Republics and all debtor nations versus, and here's your defendants, folks, this is you, you are beneficiary too, versus United States of America, U.S. U.K. Federal Reserve Banking System, the nation of Peru and all debtor nations, International Monetary Fund, IMF, a.k.a. the fund, all federal bureaus and instrumentalities, their principal, Elizabeth Windsor II, DBA, Queen Elizabeth, DBA, United States of America. Do you get that, folks? Queen Elizabeth doing business as the United States of America, as Arch-Treasurer for the Vatican, DBA, as all United States corporate, domestic, and foreign enemies, Jane and John Doe agents, et cetera, and any and all agents, designees, nominees, assignees, operatives, companies, corporations, et al., common law, and other past and present, known and yet to be known. A contracted privileged debt. Okay, folks, so this is as legitimate as it gets, and yet you as beneficiaries have been betrayed today. Because your court, your last Article III court, is not interested in solving its own economic problems, is not interested in throwing the foreign occupiers out of their little municipal corporation. So that means you are needed. Right, VK?
Absolutely.
And tell them how they're needed.
They want to live free. Good Lord, look, I'm getting ready to post something, and I want to read it to you.
This okay, is the last 3 minutes, folks. Here it is.
The subject of the 14th Amendment, just what it is and what it does and what it does do for us. You will find the Trojan horse of America within. Take the time. It said, destroyed from within. It's time to wake up for Americans. Allegiance to federal government must take priority over the allegiance to God. Are you listening to that?
Wow.
This is U.S. versus McIntosh, 2283U.S.605, 1931. Since 1946, we are at a place where the humanist infected court believes that God is dead and looking for a patagram or metaphor that can be used to purge this dead religion from American life and institutions. All the state laws, now listen to this, were taken over and were being written by a private bar by 1946. Coincidence? Question mark. The Model Administration Procedure Acts of 1946, National Conference of the Commissioners on Uniform State Law, 9C ULA 179, Brins 1957, ID 1961-14 ULA 357 1980, ID 1981-14 ULA 73, Supra 1985. Now, it appears the attempt to destroy the nation from within is not a conspiracy. It is a fact.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. The bar encourages upholding and using the 14th Amendment to socially engineer people to go to a place that they do not wish to go, which is into a socialist state where God is dead and government is viewed as God.
Yes.
What is the 14th Amendment? It's a social contract. It is a gift. It was the Trojan horse.
The Trojan horse.
The
there
United
you are, folks.
States
a new God has replaced the true God,
mm-hmm.
the God of this state. And if you folks do not want to go back to Scripture, at least go to your Declaration of Independence where it says, our inalienable rights come from God. Then the people, by their consent, empower the government. And then the government charters corporations. Do not let this stand on its head, folks. Do not let the corporations rule over the people. Stand up and be who you are. And VK, we'd love to have you again. You're just a treasure of...
Let me remind you, sweetheart, before you pay me an unnecessary compliment. It says, this one court rule known as the Ashwander Rule Number 6 appears to have made your constitutions null and void.
Okay,
so
here, we'll leave
it
better
out.
Folks with that, because I hear the music. They're going to cut us off. So,
have a nice day.
You
thank
bless you
for
and
inviting
thank you.
Me.
And all you folks, pay attention and go study the antichamber.net, and you'll get quite an education. At rumormillnews.com, this is Bruce and Marion Curtis with Truth and Freedom. May you know the truth, so you shall be free. Bye now.
See you next week.